it's hot. The every person that got off the plane during Tom Cruise weekend, one of the first things I told him, I said, look, it's really hot. It's humid. It's like a wall when you walk outside. Because I had people getting off the planes in like hoodies. I'm like, dude, you're overdressed, just so you know.
Yeah, it was ruthless this weekend.
Oh, yeah. It was rough.
It sucked.
And then on Saturday, I think it was rained a little bit that afternoon. It just made it a sauna. Yeah, it was one of those things.
Well, we're back. It's apropos that we're back.
Yes.
Because the title of this one's Return of the Sequels. Welcome, everybody, to episode 87 of the Scary Dad podcast, the 86th sequel of the first show. It is June 11th, 2018, and we are just getting started here. But we're going to talk about your favorite sequels out there. Some good, some not so good, some
that people think are better than the original, just all kinds of different. Horror sequels is what it's about.
Some that probably didn't need to get made.
Because there's some lists that I've seen where people are saying that the sequels are better than the originals that I kind of wonder if they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. The internet's full of idiots. we're the only true authority on this kind of stuff.
Listen to us.
We know what we're talking about.
And in honor of that, we have Ghoulies 2 playing in the background, which is one of the sequels I consider better than the original.
The ghoulie knocked a guy into the
highly toxic vat of...
Without a lid on it?
In the middle of a... It was in a garage. It was in like an oil chain shop.
Gotta love those 80s movies. Nobody really had context and nobody cared.
I was watching Face Off this weekend, and... I realized that where they do the surgery to change the faces. I take that back. It's in when he's in prison trying to get out of prison, and he's in the area where they do the shock treatment on him and take the boots off. Well, Nicolas Cage, John Travolta, reaches up and grabs a huge old-fashioned moonshine jug of sulfuric acid up from on top of a shelf. I'm like, why in the hell do they have a gallon of sulfuric acid in this room?
In a surgery room or whatever?
It wasn't even a surgery room. It was like a punishment room. They do electroshock therapy in
there. Oh.
But they had a big jug of sulfuric acid he pulled down and threw it at somebody.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
But that was just a...
Luckily, it was there because it helped him get away.
Some screenwriters like, you know what we need? Just a big bat of acid.
It was John Woo. What do you expect? Him and his doves.
All right. Well, let's first get into... Well, first, let's do some shout-outs. if it isn't out by now, it's about to be. But Rick over at Hell Ming Podcast started the House of Wax Podcast. I've seen a couple of teasers of House of Wax, and it is phenomenal. It is like if you're watching a post-game show of like a really stellar sporting event, and the people, the commentators are just really excited about what happened. Rick does a play-by-play of a movie like Evil Dead, and he just goes through and he'll kind of narrate like... He's got clips playing in the background, and he'll start talking about how awesome it is that, you know, it's like then just down comes a chainsaw, and like, you don't get that. Can your movie do that? Like, it's just awesome. It's so much
Rick.
Fun.
Rick has that personality.
Yeah.
It's electrifying.
And so House of Wax is coming soon. If it's not out by now,
you can now, but if it isn't out yet, you can subscribe to him already on. All your podcast networks, and also on YouTube.
Exactly.
And you can search House of Wax, WHACKS.
He had the promo where he's like, I used to suffer from bestiality.
Yeah. Now I don't suffer from it anymore.
He's like, I mean, I still love animals. I just don't suffer. I don't feel bad about it anymore. I was like, dude, that's rough. That's awesome. All right, so let's get into some old business.
First, the old business.
This was a pretty eventful freaking day, bro.
Really?
Yeah. On this date in 1184 BC, the city of Troy falls. It's sacked and burnt. That Trojan horse thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That was a big moment.
You ever wonder like if you're like the Trojan condoms, right? The reason they call it Trojans because Troy was famous for having the impenetrable wall, right? So they call their condoms Trojans because it's an impenetrable wall. Except for Troy fell because the guy, under the guise of something pleasurable, they brought in that horse, and the Greeks popped out of there just like a virus does. Like, swarmed around the city killing everybody. Like, exactly the way a virus does. Maybe not the best thing to name your condoms after, but I digress. Anyway, 1184 BC. Speaking of wanting some rain, on this date in 173 AD, the Roman army is encircled by the Quadi. Emperor Marcus, or I don't know if he was an emperor at the time, but Marcus Aurelius defeats them in a heavy rainstorm in what is later called the Miracle of the Rain.
Really? They helped him out, huh?
Yep. In 1805, fire consumes a large part of Detroit. I don't know what started it, but got hungry, I guess. Okay, so this is kind of cool. On this date in 1895, the Paris-Bordeaux-Paris it's the first automobile race in history. 1895.
That's pretty cool.
60 years to the day, in 1955, 83 people are killed and 100 injured in the 24-hour Le Mans race.
Wow.
It's the worst motorsport accident in history.
In a single accident. That is crazy.
Two cars collided and flew up into the stands and smashed a bunch of people. On this date in 1962, Frank Morris, John Anglin, and Clarence Anglin escape Alcatraz. There's that movie with Clint Eastwood, Escape from Alcatraz. They cut dummies, they chiseled out from under the wall, they had their little rafts, and they jetted. And nobody knows if they really escaped or...
drowned.
Or drowned or what. But everybody likes to think that they escaped.
Yeah.
You know.
Makes for a better movie.
Okay. In this week's episode of... the more things change, the more they stay the same, or nothing really changes. On this date in 1964, crazed World War II veteran Walter Seifert goes on a rampage in an elementary school in Cologne, Germany, killing 8 and injuring several others with a homemade flamethrower and a lance.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's an interesting choice of weaponry.
Yeah.
Flamethrowers are badass.
Yeah, they're against the Geneva Convention because they're so mean. You just launch propellant and set somebody on fire.
Yeah. Just
mean shit right there. But yeah, this dude, whatever tripped him off.
Wasn't that the opening scene for Lethal Weapon 2?
Flamethrower.
Yeah, there was one of the Lethal Weapons guy had a flamethrower. He was like in a suit of iron with a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah.
That's when he had rigs. He said, you got to take off all your clothes and walk like a chicken. So he was in his underwear doing this to distract the guy.
And on this date in 1982, E.T. is released.
Phone home. Elliot.
I got to say, I was never the biggest fan of E.T.
It made me cry.
I mean,
when I was a kid, it made me cry.
Everybody loved E.T. so much. I mean, it was okay. My favorite part of E.T., though, were the scenes in Elliot's bedroom whenever he's got all of his Star Wars guys and his BMX bike and stuff like that. You know,
right.
It's like just being a kid in suburban America because I was around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the whole... E.T. was scary, first of all.
Yeah.
And...
very troubling movie.
Yeah. Then he dies and sucks everybody's life force out of him. Almost kills
He's
Elliot,
He's killing
too.
The kid, yeah.
It was kind of... I was never a big fan of E.T. It was alright, but... All right. Notable births on this date in 1910. Let's give it up for Mr. Jacques Cousteau. I used to watch that show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Remember that narration very well.
The sharks and the fish and the polar caps. It was awesome. And just everything under the sea. If you're a fan of football, on this date in 1913, Mr. Vince Lombardi was born. If you're not a fan of football, he was still born, but you might not be as interested in it. This date in 1933, Mr. Gene Wilder was born.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
When
he passed away, that made me sad.
It is a legend. He was a big part of my childhood.
So many great movies.
Willy Wonka, man. He is Willy Wonka.
Forever. Johnny Depp could not sour that.
He will always be Willy Wonka.
Well, all of the Mel Brooks movies, you know, some Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Just absolutely phenomenal.
And the movies he made with Richard Pryor, Stir Crazy, Hear No Evil, See No Evil. He was awesome, dude.
Movies that would not be made today, including Blazing Saddles.
That's the main one that couldn't be made today.
Yeah. It's funny, my dad told me, like, he didn't realize it was a comedy. He thought it was a Western. So when I went and saw it, they didn't know what they were in for. And so he and my mom were just sitting there like, what the hell is this?
Rode a blazing saddle.
All right. Get ready for some heart bubbles from Scott, because on this date in 1945... Happy birthday to Miss Adrienne Barbeau.
My boo. I actually framed my picture today.
Nice.
I framed it today.
1949, happy birthday to Frank Beard, the only member of ZZ Top without a beard.
Yeah, he actually used to live by my subdivision. I used to see him at the snowball stand every once in a while.
Nice.
And it was cool because he'd like bring a different hot rod every time he'd go. He had all these hot rods he'd ride around the subdivision.
Yeah, they used to have a recording studio or something over by where I live. Like back in the 90s, and I didn't know where it was, but you'd see their hot rods, you'd see their cars driving around.
What's funny is, you know, I'd see his house for the longest time, and it's just this, what I thought was the house, it's just this huge, huge building. It's all gated, of course, you can't get in there or anything. But I remember I was looking at Google Maps one day, and I was passing over where he lives, and that's the barn. His house is further back, and it's even bigger.
Nice. All right, 1956. Once again, if you're into sports, Joe Montana was born.
That's a legend.
Yeah,
he was considered the GOAT for a long time until Tom Brady came along.
Mm-hmm. 1969, Peter Dinklage. Tyrion Lannister himself. He's like me. He drinks and he knows things.
I was pretty excited to see him in Infinity Wars. I thought that was so cool.
That was cool. He was really good in that. And to round out our notable births, on this date in 1986, Mr. Shia LaBeouf.
I actually like him. As crazy as he is and as controversial as he is, I love him as an actor, dude. I think he is phenomenal. I honestly do. I like Shia LaBeouf a lot.
I just think he's kind of funny. He was in that movie Fury with Brad Pitt, the tank movie. Have you seen that?
No.
That was good. He was good in it.
His little sidekick role in Constantine I thought was hilarious, dude. I like him. This one guy I don't care about his politics or anything. He's one guy that I like.
I wouldn't even know if he had politics. I know it was like, he's always in trouble for running his mouth. We'd probably be good friends. All right, notable deaths on this date in 323 BC. The world said goodbye to Alexander the Great. Some heavy hitters in this old business today. 1936, Robert E. Howard, creator of Conan the Barbarian, killed himself in his car because his mom died and he couldn't handle it. It's sad.
Yeah.
His creation, Conan, went on to become a cultural icon. That still is still just as big as it ever was.
Well, when you think about the fact that He-Man was kind of based off of Frazetta art in Conan, you know, it's incredible the influence that Conan the Barbarian has had on so much.
The what's the meaning to life?
Cover your enemies.
See them driven before you. Hear the lamentation of the women. All right. On this date in 1979, we lost the Duke, Mr. John Wayne.
My dad loved him.
Mine did too. Yeah, I think, I don't know if you've heard, like, I can't remember what movie it was, but there was some movie where they were on a set in an area that had been, like, nuclear bombed. It was like a test place, and like everybody who worked on that movie got cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, my dad was a Creole cowboy. He loved Willie Nelson and John Wayne.
Not bad. not some bad role models.
It's one of the reasons I remember I found this album one day in a collection and I picked it up. Willie Nelson, Always on My Mind. I remember before my dad died. My dad died when I was 9. I remember him listening to that song all the damn time.
For me, it was On the Road Again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably his most famous song. But I remember, like, I think, because Willie Nelson, like, they made some movies. I remember my parents, when I was really little, going and seeing a movie with Willie Nelson in it. And it was like, On the Road Again was like one of those main songs. And
he was in Half Baked.
Yeah, he was.
I remember when a dime bag cost a dime.
All right, this date in 1999, we lost Mr. DeForest Kelly, Dr. McCoy. Damn it, Jim.
I'm a doctor.
So apparently that phrase, that I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer, apparently because I guess the first season of Star Trek didn't air in order, so it was like his character was supposed to have been like more established when that episode came out, but it actually was the first episode that aired after the pilot.
Okay.
And the pilot didn't even have Kirk in it. Kirk, the first Star Trek was, I can't remember the actor's name, but it was Captain Pine. Was it Pine? I don't know, but it was not Kirk.
Mm.
And Spock had the weird eyebrows, and it was the what would become Star Trek. The second episode, Dr. McCoy says that line, but nobody knew, like, it wasn't a thing. Like, it wasn't a thing until it went into syndication and they played them in order, right. And it was like, oh, there's context. Because basically, the captain kept making the doctor do stuff that wasn't his job.
Right.
And so he finally just kind of flips out, and he's like, damn it, Jim. But it's like, in the first episode, you're like, why is he so mad? He's just been given an order. Why is he complaining? And on this date in 2015, wrestler Dusty Rhodes.
The American Dream.
Mm.
He was awesome, dude. I mean, he used to come out, those control top underwear. That were like way too big, a huge gut, but he was a badass, man. He dropped that elbow on somebody in a heartbeat. American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, with his lisp and everything. And what's funny is, you know, he was this hardcore cowboy guy, and his son ended up being Goldust, who was a kind of, you didn't know if he was bisexual or trisexual, and he'd do all kind of weird things in the ring, and I'm sure Dusty was proud.
You gotta wonder about, like, not just with wrestlers, but with any kind of celebrity stuff. I mean, it's like, like Miley Cyrus. You know, when she was being Hannah Montana and getting famous, and Billy Ray Cyrus was in her show, and, you know, he's kind of like the proud pop. But then whenever she starts going off the rails, you notice he just kind of disappeared. He's like, you got to do what you got
to
do, honey.
He's got to keep his opinion to himself, though, because it's a gravy train for him. Yeah, dude.
Exactly. It's like, he's got a diary. Like, I disapprove. I disapprove. But I'm not going to say nothing. He's
gonna publish it after he dies. Because
I have to afford my hair.
Plugs.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with some new business.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rick Morgan, and I want to share with you a scientific breakthrough that can change your life. Many people struggle through life with personal imperfections, shameful actions, and bad habits. So I'm here to tell you that there is a cure. All you have to do is subscribe to the House of Wax Classic Horror Podcast. I've been subscribed for only 2 months, and my results have been amazing. But don't take my word for it. Listen to these subscribers' success stories.
I used to have Pampered Chef parties at my house and murder everyone that would show up. But after listening to the House of Wax, I don't even cook anymore.
I used to have bad teeth, but since subscribing to House of Wax, I show my pearly whites wherever I go.
I suffer with the need of bestiality, but since House of Wax, I don't suffer anymore.
Huh?
Oh, no, I still love the animals. I just don't feel as guilty with House of Wax playing in the background.
So if you need a new horror show, then listen to the House of Wax podcast. It might just save your life. House of Wax is a proud member of Legion Podcast, and you can actually see this show on the new YouTube channel. Just look up House of Wax.
All right, Scott, dazzle us with the business.
I don't know if it's going to be too dazzling, but it's a few things we can talk about.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
You know, when I found this story, I immediately, you know, PDF'd it, put it aside to use for new business, and then like 5 minutes later, people started posting it on the Scary Dad Facebook page, and I was like, damn, they're stealing my thunder. Did you hear about the wolf-like creature that was found in Denton, Montana?
Yes.
And so you saw the pictures and everything. It's pretty cool. It reminds me, out there, once you find pictures, it kind of reminds me of the Fright Night wolf, kind of wolfing out and everything with the elongated snout and everything. But on May 16th, a wolf-like animal was shot and killed on a ranch in Wyoming. It had long grayish fur, a large head, extended snout. It showed a lot of characteristics as a wolf, but it had a lot of things that were different than a wolf. Its ears were too big, legs and body were too short, and its fur was more like a bear. It was really, really odd looking. So they're not sure where this creature is. I think it's just a cross between a dog and a wolf, personally. That's just me. You never know. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that pans out, because I'm sure there'd be follow-ups to this story, because it made pretty big news and everything. So
probably something feral.
Yeah.
Like, there's a... it's pretty well-known study now, but this guy started doing experiments. He was doing breeding experiments, and he was doing it on foxes. And so foxes are canines. They're very closely related to dogs, or, you know, dogs and wolves, but they're just smaller. But they're aggressive, and they don't tame. Like, you can't tame a fox. Like, you can sort of do it, but you can't domesticate them, basically. But this guy was doing breeding, and so he was selectively breeding the foxes for basically tame traits. So the less aggressive ones he'd breed together, and within, like, I think it was like three generations. So a pairing, and then by the third, their hair started to change color. They started getting docile. They started getting really dependent on, like, in other words, they started turning into dogs, mm-hmm. as opposed to wolves. Like, and they like lost their red color and started going to like a grayish black,
okay.
And more poofy and soft, and like basically he was breeding the fox out of the fox.
Yeah.
But then he stopped doing it because the experiment, whatever, he finished it, and then within like two generations they all bred back into foxes.
Oh wow!
They like just turned them. So
it's like a dominant gene almost. It kind of took back over.
Yeah. And like every dog is a variant of a wolf.
Right.
They all go directly. Like even your little tiny teacup mutts, they're within three or four generations of going right back to full on timber wolf. So this might be some in between. You know, you might have somebody with like a bull mastiff or something that went feral, got away, got lost, mated with a wolf, and it just
came up with this.
Came out funky.
Right.
Or it could be a werewolf.
Yeah.
So, never can tell.
Never know. But it didn't turn back into, what's his name? Evil Ed. Yeah, it didn't turn back to Evil Ed after it was killed. So, we'll have to wait and see.
That you know.
Secondly, the big news today coming out of Hollywood. It has been announced that Jamie Foxx will be Spawn in the Spawn reboot. He will be playing the title character of Al Michaels. Thoughts? Well, I read the whole article, okay? And a lot of people didn't read the whole article. He's going to have very little dialogue, according to Todd McFarlane. Todd McFarlane wrote this script with Jamie Foxx in mind. He wrote it for him to play this role and then went and said, because apparently Jamie Foxx went to McFarlane years ago and said, I would love, you know, this was a big comic book when I was young. I loved it. I would love to be able to, you know, one day play the lead role in this. So McFarlane never forgot that. He wrote the script for Jamie Foxx. You know, he's seen all his movies. He knows his acting style. He wrote it for his style. And then called him up and said, hey, do you remember me and you talked about doing this? Do you still want to do it? And Jamie Foxx said, hell yeah, I'm on board. So I got high hopes for it.
Cool.
Because what McFarlane said is he wanted the character to be more like, as he put it, when you think of the scariest movies you've seen, the scary person doesn't talk. He's just there in the background doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Facial expressions, you know, stuff like that. And he feels as though Jamie Foxx is going to be perfect for the role that he's envisioning for Spawn.
Jamie Foxx is a good actor, and I like Jamie Foxx a lot. Like, I don't have any... Since you mentioned that, I guess it puts a different spin, because I did not read the article. I just saw the headline. My only thing is, it seems to me, it's just like with any kind of comic book movie, it's like they've got four people who they just cycle through roles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, even look... And it's not to knock the... Chris Evans, he was already Flaming Torch, you know, Human Torch. And in Black Panther, Killmonger, that's Michael B. Jordan, he was also the Human Torch. You know, it's like, good on them for getting attached to a franchise that succeeds, but are there no other available actors
right.
that could fill the role? And again, nothing against Jordan or Evans, but it just seems like they, you know, it's like every time they're talking about anything at all, it's like if you need a black guy to play anything, they want Idris Elba, who's a phenomenal actor. But is Hollywood's Rolodex only like three guys full?
Right.
Like, I would like to see some new up and coming talent, like somebody that you haven't seen before, somebody to break through. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, going back to the Avengers, but like Hemsworth. I mean, it's not his first movie, but that's the movie that made him. Like, yeah. That's, you know, and he embodies it perfectly. Like, he is the perfect Thor. Yeah. There is probably nobody better to play Thor. But if Chris Hemsworth decides to retire, then they're going to start floating around Idris Elba to play Thor. And it's like, even though he just played... even though he was Thor's buddy in the movies, it's just like they don't have a very large list of folks.
A big pool.
You know, which there's a lot of people that would love to be in these movies. Yeah. You know,
Josh Brolin's in two right now in the theaters at the same time. Just
yeah. So, nothing against Foxx. I think he's really good. And because he wrote it specifically for him, that's great. You know.
Well, the biggest complaint I've seen people saying is that his voice doesn't match what they'd envision Spawn to be. I mean, he's not going to be talking.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have a one-liner here and there, and that's it. So, I think I'm interested to see where it goes.
I think he'll do well. I think it'll be good, especially if it's custom-built, you know.
Right.
Bespoke shoes always fit the best, you know.
All right. In more movie news, when I ask you this first question, you could be like, what the hell does that have to do with movie news? Remember those toys from back in the day? I think it was in the 90s, called Creepy Crawlers, where you had like a little die-cast tray and you poured some juice in it and you put it in this oven experimental lab thing and you went woo-ah, and then you pulled it out and it was like a little rubber worm or...
Yeah.
Okay. Paramount has bought the movie rights to the Creepy Crawler toy line. There's no synopsis yet, but apparently they're going to be designing a... The toy originally came out in the 60s, had a resurgence in the 90s, And they're going to be making a movie based off of the Creepy Crawlers toy line. Of course, Paramount also bought toy lines, Transformers and G.I. Joe, and when they had turned those into successful franchises, so it'll be interesting to see what they plan on doing with the Creepy Crawler toy line.
Was G.I. Joe successful?
I don't know. Honestly, they haven't seen either one.
I saw the first one. It was not good. The only good part about the G.I. Joe was Ray Park as Snake Eyes, like, cutting up.
Dude, he's a nice guy, dude.
Yeah, he seemed like
it. I saw him in the bar for a little while, man. He was cool.
I saw him doing his lightsaber demonstration.
Oh, cool.
Comicpalooza posted a video, and he had a double-edged, you know, like Darth Maul, double-edged lightsaber, and he was spinning it and jumping around and doing his Darth Maul thing, and it was like, dude, that is awesome.
No, when me and him were talking in the bar, he told me, he said, you know, I got into Houston and I was really, really excited, you know, and I loved meeting all the fans, but then I realized, you guys, less than a year ago, had that flood that you had to deal with. And he said it was just, it amazed him how well the city had rebounded from that. And he talked about how, you know, all of a sudden he had like kind of like a feeling of dread and heartbreak that he was in the city, but the people just totally made him feel so good about it and stuff. And, you know, he almost felt bad when he realized he was there to make money for the show when they just went through that, but then everybody just, he said it's like it never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, city recovered.
Okay, and another movie news, just a quick bit, as I sent you earlier, it has been confirmed again that Woody Harrelson will be taking on the role of Cletus Cassidy. Okay, now what has been hinted by him himself is that it's going to be a very small part he has in the current Venom movie. The sequel is where he's going to come up into. So what I'm thinking is, and what most people are thinking, is that it's going to be an Easter egg with him.
Mm-hmm.
What people are guessing is that the Tom Hardy character is going to be in jail at the end, and Cletus Cassidy is going to be in the cell next to him, and a piece of symbiote is going to jump over onto Cletus Cassidy.
Yeah.
Which is going to be pretty... It's gonna give me chills. That's gonna be pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, because that's where he came from.
He is gonna be so awesome in that role too. Just it's gonna be badass.
One of those phrases that sticks in your head, you know, it's like a turn of phrase. But the jail scene in that Spider-Man, I guess it's 360.
Mm-hmm.
So 361 is where Venom or where Carnage comes out.
Yes.
But 360 is where Eddie Brock's in jail with Cletus in the cell.
Yeah.
And Cassidy's listening to Motley Crue. He's listening to music. And Brock makes him turn it off. And Brock's huge and confident because he's Venom.
Yeah.
And Cassidy's little. And Brock tells him to shut up. And Cletus is like in his head, he's got a thought bubble, and he's like, how am I supposed to listen to the tender intricacies of this Motley Crue record with this guy over here? And so he gets a shank, he's gonna stab Brock, and then that's when the symbiote jumps on him.
Right.
He's like, what is this? It's so cool. But I always think like the subtle intricacies of this Motley Crue record. And like,
so that has me even more excited for the Venom movie. So
yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yep. I'm already excited for the sequel, which is really weird. Okay, you remember back in 79 AD?
Yeah, I was
Mount
there.
Mount Vesuvius blew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell you how amazing science is now. Okay, they're still researching the aftermath of the Pompeii destruction. Scientists have unearthed what appears to be a man who was probably running from the disaster and was crushed by a falling arc. Now look at this picture they were able to put together of this skeleton with a block on top of his head where he was crushed. That is a victim of the Mount Vesuvius disaster in Pompeii. How amazing is that?
And that's a skeleton in there.
Yeah.
So it didn't burn or it didn't go away.
Right. They can't find the head. They said that the head they can't find.
It probably got shattered.
And they said it looked like... Some of this isn't amazing, dude. It blows my mind that they're able to recreate these things. They said that it looks like he had some type of a virus that affected him. It gave him an infection in his leg to where he couldn't run fast. And that's why he got caught up like that. And yeah, he ended up... That's just incredible to me.
Yeah.
79 AD, and are able to figure out that the guy had a leg injury that he was not able to run fast.
I love that kind of stuff. I love that stuff.
And when I found this, I was like, you know, they saw that his thorax was crushed. They haven't found his skull. They say he suffered from an infection of the tibia, which may have caused walking difficulties, which made him not be able to escape. It's just, it blows my mind, man.
There was an article today, you know, the volcanoes have still been going off in Hawaii. There's an article, yeah. Like, they had to warn people, like, don't try to roast marshmallows on the lava, you'll burn your hand off.
But when somebody tweeted, is it safe to eat marshmallows, the USGS decided to go ahead and reply to it.
No.
Say it's not a good idea.
Don't do that.
Not what was bad is it did mention that the combination of the sugar and sulfuric acid could cause an interesting reaction. That's going to make people want to see what happens. So people are probably going to go ahead. I can see some idiot trying it. Just because they want to see the reaction. That's it for new business.
All right, let's take a break. Come back. Talk about some sequels.
Four years ago, in this quiet forest, in this cozy cabin, something happened. Something so frightening. Something so deadly. Something so evil. We prayed it would never happen again. Now, from the creator of Evil Dead, comes Evil Dead 2. Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
All right.
Ready to get into some sequels?
Yeah.
Like, sequels won't necessarily be part twos. It's just sequels. It may be further down the line.
Well, what gave me the idea for this one is somebody on Twitter posted a question. And it was a poll, actually. And it was said, what was the best shark movie since Jaws? And Deep Blue Sea, Open Water, The Shallows, The Reef, like all of these different shark movies, because in anticipation of Meg coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm reading his poll, and I'm like,
where's Jaws 2?
The best shark movie since Jaws was Jaws 2. So there was no shark movie. Then there was Jaws. Then there was Jaws 2. Like, those others, yeah, you know, you can
debate them
on their benefits, but Jaws 2 is going to be the best shark movie since Jaws, and better than all of those others. So, right. And as far as the sequel goes, I mean, most of the original cast, I mean, with the exception of
what's his name? Shark.
Dreyfus.
Richard Dreyfus.
But yeah, Chief Brody, you know, the kids, Ellen, the same mayor, you know, the whole works. So
I've heard Richard Dreyfuss is hell to work with, by the way.
Yeah, I have too. You know, but in Jaws 2, you know, the body count's higher. It's nowhere near as plausible as the original, and it's not as scary, but it ups the ante of the original. Right. And in this one, they had a working shark.
It's a strong movie.
It's a good movie. So, 3, not so much, even though there's a special place in my heart for it. 4, we don't even talk about that one. I saw Jaws 4 in the theater with my cousin and my grandpa. And I was like, this isn't even scary. But I digress. We're talking about good sequels, not bad ones.
Some sequels that were better than the original.
Yeah, well, just so there's some sequels that, even if they're not necessarily better than the original, they're better than everything that came after it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, who's shark movies? Jaws 1 and 2 are going to be the apex, and everything else falls below them.
I didn't want to start. You want to start big and then...
Yeah, let's start big and we can go into...
Okay, well, I'll start with this since there's a third chapter coming out here pretty soon with Devil's Rejects. Sequel that, in my opinion, just surpassed the original.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie by far. And to the point where the third installment is called Devil's Rejects Part 2. That's how strong Devil's Rejects was. It's now taking a life of its own, even though it's a sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses.
Right.
That says a ton right there. That even Rob Zombie himself feels as though Devil's Rejects was a better movie.
I think Devil's Rejects was the movie. House of a Thousand Corpses, for what it is, was Rob Zombie's kind of love letter to...
Toby Hooper.
Yeah. But all of those characters, I mean... In Corpses, you're on the side of the kids, you know, and you're watching all of these horrible things happen to them. Devil's Rejects, you're watching the story as through the eyes of the bad guys,
right?
And
but it's definitely a sequel. It starts off at the end. Yeah.
Well, totally, it totally is a sequel. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like, but that's where it found its footing,
right?
That's where he finally got that motorcycle kicked.
Like, yeah.
That was a reject.
It's a phenomenal movie, man.
So, yeah, we were watching it the other night.
Yes. So, yeah, Devil's Rejects is definitely one that I would put higher than the original. A phenomenal sequel. It's like House of a Thousand Corpses was warm-up to Devil's Rejects.
Need to establish the characters.
Yeah.
But you said we're starting big.
I'll just take a run at it.
Aliens.
I was going to ask you, are you Ridley Scott or James Cameron?
It's hard to compare them. Not the directors, but the two movies.
The two movies, right.
Because the first one is a straight-up horror movie. It's the unknown. It's the thing behind the wall, you know, thing hiding in the dark that you can't see.
That can't be stopped.
With the second one, you know what it is. You know what it looks like, and you know how bad it is. So, you're looking at it from a different perspective because the only one on the ship who knows what they're dealing with is Ripley. And when she's like, no, we need to leave this thing alone and go home. You know, she's right. The only one that knows what she's talking about. And all the space marines, and you know, so it's more of an action movie, even though it's full of straight up horror.
Yeah.
But I think the spectacle of the second one is superior to most movies that are made.
Right.
It's hard to beat Aliens for just pure damn good movie
excitement. Yeah. Just
you know,
doesn't slow down. It's Terminator in space. You know, it's a really really good movie.
Speaking of Terminator, once again.
Terminator 2?
I don't know. Would you say that 2 is superior to the first one?
No, I don't. I don't think it is.
The first one, again, is more of a straight-up horror film.
The second one is more special effects-driven, and it's not my type of movie.
The second one wasn't scary. It wasn't. It was an action movie, but it wasn't terrifying.
Yeah.
The first one was pretty terrifying. I mean, that thing was not going to stop. And they're just lucky that they happened into a place that had a thing that could crush it.
Yeah.
Because if they had run into a bakery, like, it would have won. You know?
They would have run into a paint factory or something.
But it definitely had a bigger impact than the first.
Yeah.
So the second, I remember when the second one came out, it was unstoppable.
Yeah, it was huge, huge. But the money spent on that movie was just... compared to the first one, it was insane. But to me, the first one just holds a certain place where it can't be touched. He said it's simple. It was scary. It's a really, really good movie. Moving forward.
What you got?
Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
You thought that one was better than the first? You're more of the Hellraiser fan than me.
Personally, yes. Because you get to learn more about the Cenobites themselves. You got to realize in the first movie, the Cenobites were there for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. The second one is all Cenobite all the time. It's a... And you learn their backgrounds. You understand the characters a lot better. I honestly feel as though Hellraiser 2 was better. I'm actually one of those weirdos that likes Hellraiser 3 too, though. So what's my opinion worth?
Hey, you know, you like what you like. Sequel better than the original? Not really a horror movie, but we've talked about it a bit, but Batman Returns to me is a superior film than the original with Jack Nicholson.
You like Catwoman, that's why.
The whole story, the whole movie, it moves faster, there's more action.
Yeah.
There's more story within the movie.
Yeah.
You know, so you got the two bad guys, you've got the Catwoman story, you've got the Penguin story running concurrently inside of the film, and then you have, you know, Batman struggles with, you know, where does he draw the line, you know, once he,
right.
You know, it's like you've got, he's trying to rescue Selina, but the only way he can rescue her is to be Batman and kick her ass.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of, but yeah, you know, Catwoman. But even then, points for Catwoman. You know, from the three. Switch. It still puts it up there. Michelle Pfeiffer is superior to Kim Basinger. It's a love interest, so.
I can dig it. I understand what you mean. Okay, we have this movie playing in the background right now, but
Staying on the Batman.
Yeah.
Dark Knight was a superior film to Batman Begins.
I can see where you say that. I can see where you say that, but I prefer Michael Keaton, if that makes any sense. Just personally.
No. In two different universes, two different franchises.
Right, okay, yeah.
Batman Begins with Christian Bale. The sequel was The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. That movie,
was
better
than
Batman Begins. Batman Begins was awesome, but the whole... Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker and just the whole movie itself was better than the original.
I agree with you on that.
So
for sure.
Superman 2 was not better than Superman 1. Where he pulls off his shield and throws it.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. But you know, what's funny is I still enjoy all the Superman franchise. As bad as some of them are, even with Nuke Boy.
I always enjoyed that one. I mean, everybody gives it.
I like the Richard Pryor one. I love Superman 3. I think that one was hilarious. Richard Pryor gave a good. He's an excellent actor. He could do so much.
Superman 3 was good. I remember that girl coming out of the machine. Like once, when the machine grabbed her and pulled her in.
Sister fell into the thing. Yeah,
and then like she comes out
all wired up and everything.
Yeah, she was awesome.
But it's funny how they're on that video game shooting nuclear bombs at him and everything. Okay, one that I found on a few lists that I don't agree with, we got to play in the background, is Jeepers Creepers 2. I do not think Jeepers Creepers 2 was better than 1.
No.
There's no way you could say that.
Number 1 could stand alone without any sequels. Yep. I mean, it was... Yeah, it leaves a lot open. So, yeah, certainly the sequels are valid. But if you just left it alone, you just let those credits roll, that is one bleak movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jeepers Creepers was... Yeah, the second one, not as much.
And on that same vein, another one that I see on a few lists that people consider better than the original was The Hostel Part 2.
I never saw the second one.
You never saw the second one? I can see where people would prefer it more because you learn more about the society that's charging people to come and kill people, the ones that are actually running the show. But the first one was just so... The unknown part of it is what's scary about it.
Right.
You know, so one, I definitely prefer to... Two for sure. Let's go ahead and take one.
Well, this is by no means is a sequel better than the original, but it's better than most other slasher movies. It's up there inside of the genre as probably one of the top 10 slasher movies that have ever been made. It's just Halloween 2. You know, nothing's going to beat the first one.
Right.
I mean, the first one is... I don't even want to say damn near. The first one is perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with or could be improved upon Halloween. The second one is just a continuation of the first. Again, ups the body count. Just as scary as the first one. Continues the story. Should have ended the franchise, you know, because Michael and Dr. Loomis get blown up at the end. But it's a terrifying movie. I mean, it is a really scary... It is before all of the sequels in horror movies started becoming self-referential and kind of trying to play comedy and trying to play laughs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a dark and serious, brutal slasher. And it's not funny at all. There's right. nothing funny about it. So as far as... compared to pretty much most of the Friday the 13th, the Nightmare on Elm Street, whatever, if you're looking for like an evening that you want to watch a damn scary movie, Halloween 2 holds up.
Right.
You know?
I agree. I definitely can see where you mean, for sure. Okay. Where was I? I did Ghoulies 2. I'll talk about Ghoulies 2 a little bit. Well, let's just go ahead and go with this one. Evil Dead 2.
See, I'm going to one-up you on that one. Because the third one sort of defines the entire universe, Army of Darkness.
Well, it definitely brings Ash to where he currently is. He makes him an icon.
Right.
But when it comes to Evil Dead 1 and 2, 2 definitely beat out 1.
2 is better. Yeah, 2 yes. 2 is better than the first one.
And then, but to call it a sequel, it's almost as though... it's more of a remake than yeah. a sequel. Army of Darkness would be a sequel to Evil Dead 2.
Except for Evil Dead 2 is called Evil Dead 2.
Right.
So, you know, it's like 1, 2, 3. It's a trilogy.
Those damn Raimis.
You know, but...
confusingness and everything.
Well, no, and like, I will never argue the greatness of any of those three films. I am of the opinion, even though it wasn't really that scary, that the kind of like with Devil's Rejects... the defining film of the franchise is probably Army of Darkness.
Well, I would agree with you on that.
That's what makes the series iconic, I think,
right.
is the third one.
I would agree with you on that, but I would say that Evil Dead 2 is a better horror movie.
True.
Army of Darkness is a better movie. Evil Dead 2 is a better horror movie.
True. It's really hard. It's hard to debate the Evil Dead series.
Right.
Because all you're... Your point counterpoint is going to be what's more awesome than something that's too awesome to be. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're not going to be like, oh, that sucks, because then you're going to hear that record scratched. And you're going to be excommunicated from the horror community completely. You know, like, it's not that. It's, it's just which is a better sequel, the second or the third. But let's say that we're both right. And we just need to go watch all three of them back to back.
Right.
And enjoy them.
And then just another three real quick that I don't remember it well enough to really say, but I don't remember it being that good. A lot of lists I saw put Return of the Living Dead 3 above the first two.
I don't think I've seen the third one.
I think that's the one with the girlfriend that comes back. There's like this guy's girlfriend. He tries to save her.
It came out in like the 90s or something?
Yes, yeah. I think so. I'm not sure. But that's I'll look into it and see.
It might be a good movie.
Notification, but one was definitely better than two. I'll definitely give it that. But yeah, I guess I need to try to check into that. Delve into that a little bit better and see.
Yeah, Return of the Living Dead is kind of untouchable.
Yeah.
And it's a standalone. I mean, it's just a standalone.
Wait, it ends. It ends.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't need a sequel. You got one?
A lot of people argue that Dawn of the Dead is a better sequel than Night of, but I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree with that too.
I mean, I know that this is sacrilegious, but I think the remake of Dawn of the Dead from the 90s is better than the original Dawn of the Dead from the 70s. It's just more striking, I guess, is the better. And they're in. It's a remake, it's two different universes, whatever, but the original Dawn of the Dead, it just, it's good, but it didn't scare me at all. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, okay, there's zombies. With the second one, you've got that claustrophobia, them trapped right. in the mall, the zombies can run, you know, it's just, you've got so much against you, and as days go by, they just hoard up more and more and more. Right. You're never getting out of there. And
if you get out, there's nowhere to go.
Right, and it's just a claustrophobic feeling throughout, and it really keys in that remake. That didn't, I didn't really have that same feeling in the original.
Yeah.
So call it a sequel, call it a remake of a sequel. The remake is superior to the original. I know that makes, I'm probably going to be excommunicated from the horror community. Somebody's going to send like a priest like over there. Like,
if all the evil's going to show up.
Yeah, he's going to like do his thing, like throw his unholy water on me. It'll be Coca-Cola or something.
Another one that I've seen people say is better than the original, but I would have to disagree. While it's a great movie, Creepshow 2 is definitely not better than the first Creepshow.
Oh, man. See, I'm on the fence with that one. And not because you are correct. Like, the first one is scarier. It is. But the segments in the second one, to me, are so much, like, see, I just remember those, like especially the lake monster, the blob.
Yeah, yeah. The blob is one that definitely stands. The hitcher stands.
And
out.
The hit, yeah.
But when you look at the Ballad of Geordi, with Stephen King's part in the first one, Adrian Barbeau in the second one, and also just the zombies from the water with Ted Danson
and Fluffy,
it's just
you're right.
You can't touch it.
Yeah, you are right.
The cockroach bit is just. That was one of the creepiest bits, the segments I've ever seen.
I still get squeamish when I watch that. I'm kind of like turning my head.
Yeah,
like,
you get goosebumps.
Yeah,
get chills.
It's gross because he's just mashing.
Yeah, they won't stop. They're everywhere. They're in his cereal. They're everywhere. And what's weird is he doesn't see any in the cereal box, but there's none running around. They just all hoarded up in there. Then they start coming out of the disposal that he keeps throwing them down. It's that movie is just, I don't think.
Okay, yeah, you convinced me because that's one of those things is like, Creepshow to me is perfect. The Creepshow 2 is also perfect.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie, but I don't think it surpasses 1. 1 just had a...
Yeah, you're right. So, no longer on the fence. No, it was like, for me it was just more along the lines of like, I guess for pure scare, like for straight up horror, like you're not getting away.
Right.
The raft itself, by itself, carries Creepshow 2. Like, all the other ones could suck, but that one,
it's
by being
segment.
In it, is such a great segment that it's just burned into the brain. You know, and as a young kid, whenever he's like, see, in the story, in the book, in Skeleton Crew, like...
Yeah, I remember, I read the original story.
They're like hypnotized.
Yeah.
And that thing, like, it changes different colors, and... It kind of draws them in.
It's like an oil slick, they say.
And it like, I don't know if it's implied, but it makes them have sex so that they like stop paying attention. Right. It's like they both
get, like, it gets in his head to make him horny, basically.
Yeah. Well, her too. Yeah. And it just kind of puts them both like in this.
Yeah, she's not asleep in the story.
And you know, you're like, why would you do that? Like, you just watched your friends dissolve into this gelatinous mass. And now you're getting it on. Like, there's nothing sexy about that, but yet they're kind of compelled.
Yeah.
And in the movie, you know, you're watching it. You're like 12 years old, and you're gonna see boobs, and then all of a sudden her face gets ripped off. Like, that's not, like, that gets burned into the brain.
Oh yeah.
And so
I'll never forget that segment.
That segment is it's better than many horror movies by themselves.
Right.
So.
Well, what I love, they did such a good job, because I remember reading the book and everything. It is such a good job of taking that story and putting it on screen.
Mm-hmm.
They did an excellent job writing that one. It really, really brought exactly what I read to the screen, which is cool.
For sure. Better than the first. arguable, more fun than the first, for sure. Again, this might be sacrilege, but Dream Warriors, I think, is the epitome of the Nightmare franchise.
You're not alone in that opinion. I've seen that on several lists, that Part 3 was by far the better movie. And I agree. That one blew everything away.
So it was still scary. He was starting to be campy. He was starting to joke around, but it was still...
That movie was so good, it made Part 4 successful. That's one way to look at it.
True.
That movie was so good, it made Part 4 the most popular one and the most money-making one of all of them. Think about that. It all wrote riding on the coattails of Part 3 because it was so good.
Yeah. And Part 3 didn't do as well because Part 2 people didn't like as much.
Right.
So, what you got?
Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Is that better than the first?
Yes, because the special effects are much better, and it, of course, starred a young George Clooney. Okay. So we got the real big one we could talk about. The real big debate. Which would be Friday the 13th series. Now, a lot of lists that I saw, they actually put your favorite as the best of the sequels, which would be Part 4, mm-hmm. Final Chapter. I would put Part 2 higher than Part 1. Because if we get introduced to the man that becomes the Friday the 13th franchise, Jason.
Yeah, the first one
is a good movie.
The first, yeah, and it's scary. I mean, it's a serious and frightening slasher.
Well written slasher, yeah.
So there's really nothing can be said about the first one, but comparing to the others, Part 2 is, you know. If the first one didn't exist and Part 2 was the first one and just started there, where kids are talking about a kid who died who,
yeah,
you know, is now a killer in the forest, that's tough.
And no offense to Ari Lehman, you know, I know he's the first Jason, but Part 2 was the birth of Jason.
True. I don't know, man. Like, my favorite to just of nostalgia-wise is going to be, obviously, Part 4.
Yeah.
Like, I've stuck by Part 4 forever. Recently rewatched it and being like... But I also just recently rewatched Part 5. And for a new beginning, for a reboot, for a, like, okay, let's breathe some fire into this franchise, even though it failed, it is... one of the more uncompromising sequels in there.
Right.
It's got some really mean kills. And I'm not saying 5 is better than any of the others, but it's overlooked. Like, it's a gem in there that if you can get past the fact, like, I don't get the, like, okay, it's not really Jason, but are you pissed off that it's a different shark in Jaws 2?
Yeah, it's still the same mystique.
After they blew up the shark, like, Jason got his head completely bashed in, completely, in Part 4, which makes it unreasonable that he would have it so well put together without even a machete slash in Part 6. But, hey, whatever. But, you know, Part 5 holds up. My favorite of them is still going to be Part 4. It's just...
But it's safe to say that the sequels surpass the original.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Several of them. Not all of them. Not all the sequels surpass the original, but several of them do.
And it's got George McFly doing the spastic dance. Oh, that's so funny to watch. Oh, that's so hilarious.
So what else you got?
Well, you know, Solo just came out.
Yes.
Yeah. It's playing to mixed reviews, and it didn't really kill that that first weekend. But, of course, anybody who's going to see a Star Wars movie was at Comic-Palooza this weekend, so Houston didn't even show up.
Right.
So, and the box office numbers, they're up against Avengers still. They're up against Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2 dropped to like 50 million this past weekend. So that one, there's no significant contender.
True. It's also Memorial Day weekend, though.
Yeah. Many people are traveling.
So, I don't know. I've heard good things about it. I haven't really heard anything negative about it.
I find the majority is kind of lukewarm. It was okay. It was, you know, a good movie. Nothing. It's a must-see movie. You have to see this movie.
Yeah. But because it's topical, still the crown jewel of Star Wars is going to be Empire Strikes Back.
Of course.
Followed closely by Rogue One, which came out like 30 years later.
Right.
But Rogue One, to me, is better than A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. It was just a better movie.
I was looking at somebody's list the other day where they had, out of all, like, what is 10 movies?
Mm-hmm, Solo, something like that.
They had Phantom Menace as like 6. I'm like, you don't know your Star Wars.
Right.
You were probably born in the 90s.
Had to be.
And it had to be somebody that was born in the 90s.
Which, to be fair, you know, Johnny from Sirenicide really likes his prequels.
Right.
So, you know, he loves Revenge of the Sith and stuff. So, you know, you can't knock anybody's preferences because that dude's got a horror pedigree. He does a horror podcast.
Right.
You know, he's big on the... But, you know, we've talked about how I don't like the prequels and whatever, but when it comes to just movies that are entertaining and engaging and really hold your attention, like, A New Hope is probably about half an hour, 45 minutes too long.
Yeah, it drags out.
There's a lot of drag.
I can see where somebody now, because, like, I'll watch it for nostalgia purposes, and I could watch the whole movie. But now, like, having, like, knowing nothing about it to go watch it, I can see where somebody would get bored after a while and be like, is this movie going to start?
Mm-hmm.
When does the action start? We're just going to see this whiny kid running around the desert trying to find his robot that ran away.
Exactly. But Empire Strikes Back is going to be... because I put Rogue One up there with it. Rogue One was an excellent movie. It was great. I really, really enjoyed it.
It was a good movie.
But yeah, so for me it would be probably Empire, then Rogue One, then probably Return of the Jedi, then A New Hope, then Force Awakens, then probably Last Jedi, and then that's where I cut it off because those other three don't exist, and I haven't seen Solo yet.
Right.
So...
Are you planning on going to see it, or are you going to wait?
I'll probably see it. Okay, Juliet wants to see it, so I'll take her.
I'm probably going to wait till it comes out. And I think a lot of the reason that it's kind of getting a lukewarm response is that, like, a lot of true fanboys don't want to see anybody but Harrison Ford play Han Solo.
I really do think
it's almost like sacrilege.
There's like a pissy backlash.
Yeah.
To. And not. I mean, well, Star Wars is obviously far surpassed them, but it's like if you got Godfather. You know, Marlon Brando played the Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic. Who are you going to get to play young Corleone? Well, yeah, Robert De Niro is in there, and Godfather 2 is a phenomenal film.
Right.
So you can't be too fanboy about it, or else you're going to miss out on Godfather 2, right?
Right.
So you can't. How about some sequels that just shouldn't have been made? That you're just like, come on, guys.
Let me think. You have one in mind while I'm thinking?
They're talking about Zombieland. I don't know if I'm really on board for that. I mean, I love Woody Harrelson.
But the way it ended was apropos to where you shouldn't have a sequel. You know, that's the thing about that one. I'm fine with the way it ended and not having a sequel.
Yeah. Swamp Thing 2 was not good.
I had fun with it. It's a fun movie, but it's nowhere near what Swamp Thing 1 was, for sure. It's got Hella Locklear, dude. Come on, man.
Fair enough. The Crow didn't need any sequels.
No, that one. Well, the thing about it is, it was based off the second set of comic books. So, but still, the sequel was nowhere near as good as the original. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequels kind of went downhill, so they started doing the remakes. the remakes kind of brought the franchise back to life a lot.
Yeah, I think, well, even so, even though, because part two is awesome and it's fun, mm-hmm. but the legacy of that first one, you really didn't need a second one.
Right.
It's like the fear was all there. You know, that house off in the boondocks somewhere where all these crazy people live, yeah. just knowing that exists.
It was scary enough.
Let it stick in your head.
Right.
I haven't seen it, but I know it exists, the Pumpkinhead sequel.
I haven't seen that one either, so.
You know.
Well, Tremors has gotten to the point where they needed to stop making sequels on that one. You know, after the second or third one, once they started having ass blaster graboids, it just stopped making sense.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them out there where it's just like, I don't want to see
Yeah, that. Sometimes you got to let something die every once in a while. You can't keep milking it for that damn long. For example, I just saw there's another, not that I've ever seen the first one, but there's yet another Human Centipede sequel out there. Why? Why do they keep making those movies?
As if it's going to get any more shitty to have your mouth sewn on somebody's mouth. It's like, oh, here's part four, it still sucks.
Like, yeah, after a while it just gets ridiculous.
What you think?
I'm
probably put a fork in that one.
Pretty tapped out, I think so.
Well, what are your favorite sequels? How much sacrilege did I actually commit by talking about, well, I guess the Evil Dead side and, man, whatever. I stand by my decisions.
But see if you can sway them.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
Hit us up in the comments. Here's a new one. Somebody posted this on Twitter, and it's absolutely where my mind is at. If I were to listen to all of my new friends who have podcasts, I would never do anything but listen to podcasts, and I'd still never catch up. So, if you have a podcast and you're like, hey, man, check it out, do me a favor. Throw me a link to your, like, best episode, your the one that you had the most fun making or whatever. Give me your top line episode so I can like jump in and really get a feel for your show, because as bad as it sounds, if I need to listen to two or three episodes, I've got like eight of you waiting. I've got eight podcasts on queue that you know, that's eight of you at an hour each, and I need to listen to at least two or three episodes in order to catch a really good feel. That is a lot of driving. And but yeah, you know, like, I'm all about it. I'm interested, and if you want to come on the show, shoot me an email and we'll make it happen, because that's something that we have a lot of fun doing, is talking with folks.
Oh yeah.
So let's see, before we go, it is now the 11th June. We are
3 months and how many weeks? 3 weeks. Well, 2.5 weeks.
We're looking for the cool weather. We're hoping that this heat breaks a little bit. We got Haunted Halloween show coming up. We are filling the roster up. And so if you're interested, let us know. Come like our page, Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show, Facebook. Like us on Twitter, like us on Instagram, like us on Facebook. We are all over the place. We're constantly posting pictures of cool, fun stuff, sharing events locally that are going on with our friends that are also in horror and stuff. So it's a fun place to be. If you're interested in horror, follow the Scary Dad kind of cadre of things. We don't solicit. We don't send emails. We don't bust your chops about buying shit. We don't sell shit. We're trying to sell tickets to a show that happens 3 months from now. So, but we'd like to see you there. Come meet people, hang out, talk mm-hmm. with us. It'll be a blast. And with that, this has been episode 87 of the Scary Dad Podcast. We're 13 away from number 100. We're gonna have to figure out something cool to do.
Yeah, for the 100th episode, for sure.
Probably need to start thinking about that now. I think Florida Man was on the books for a while. Like, we knew what we were gonna do for episode 69. But yeah, hit us up, let us know, and as always, keep it scary.
Later.
In a sequel, we're back by popular demand. Come on, everybody, strike up the band.
We're doing a sequel. That's what we do in Hollywood. And everybody knows that the sequel's never quite as good.
A sequel, another feature attraction.
Places, please, light the lights, roll camera, action!
I thought it was the end, but no, my friends, this is when we get to do it all again.
Do it all again.
Until the credits roll, we got another go to show them we can do it all again.
We're doing a sequel. There's no need to disguise.
The studio considers us a viable franchise.
We're doing a sequel.
This is when we get to do it all again.
Do it all again.
Until the credits roll, we've got another go to show them we can do it all again.
We're doing a sequel.
Let's give it a go.
With Hollywood stars
and long one line of cameos.
We're doing a sequel.
I don't mean to be a stickler, but this is the seventh sequel to our original motion picture.
We're doing a sequel. Let's give it a shot.
All we need now is a half-decent plot.
Got it. An epic love story between a very handsome, long-nosed purple thing and a beautiful chicken. Gonzo with the wind.
Does anybody have any other ideas?
Oh, it's about getting the Muppets back together again to stop an evil oil baron from demolishing the old studio.
Fozzie, did you even watch our last film?
Yeah. It's about a frog who marries a beautiful, perfect pig, and they have to kiss each other. A lot!
It's for the shirnigger-digger. It's for the shirnigger-digger.
I don't think Americans watch subtitled films.
Kermit, how about the Muppets go on a world tour?
That's perfect.
I thought it was the end, but no, my friends, this is when...